Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1, and I want to read a few verses very quickly. We are just a few minutes away. I want to stop in time as much as possible. But also the thing is, in our church, we give time for testimonies, and you know, that takes a bit of a time. So let us be in the presence of God as we sit in God's presence. And we are looking to the hand of God. Acts of the Apostles, and we are going to look at chapter 1. You know, the Lord put in my heart something that happened after Jesus rose up. When you read this account, this is by Dr. Luke. He is a medical doctor, you know. And he wanted to continue with what Jesus, what he got, the revelation that we read in the Gospel of Luke. Read in the Gospel of Luke, and that we see that in the book of Acts, as we read this, I want you to follow in your own Bibles. Now, what Luke is writing here, he's trying to write the second book as a continuation of the first book. So if you read the Gospel of Luke and then you read the book of Acts, you know it's a continuation of what he was starting to write. So today I want to speak on the subject called Jesus, the risen Christ. He appears, he assigns, and he ascends. All with starting with A, by the way. They are all rhyming. He appears, he assigns, and he ascends. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And I want to read the first 11 verses here. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father had put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had spoken up these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, who do you stand? Why do you stand gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you unto heaven will also in like manner as you saw him come, as you saw him go into heaven." Praise God. Praise God. It's an account that happened after the Lord Jesus has come down, and he's presenting before his disciples. Please take your seat. You know, we see Jesus appearing to his disciples. This is a picture I found very, very wonderful. As a risen Savior, Jesus comes to his disciples. I want to tell you very quickly, there are three things that we read from this passage, and I want to bring before you in a very concise way, and I want to speak to you. There are three things that Jesus wanted to convey to his disciples before he left to heaven. So the last words of any person before they go, they are very important. I think this is one of the most important portions that we need to always remember. What was Jesus trying to do to his disciples? In the last days, it's written here, if you see them, Jesus walked on the earth for 40 days and he was seen by his disciples. There are, you know, what did Jesus do? I want to bring before you three things that Jesus did, the risen Christ, he did before he departed to his heavenly abode. And I want to give you this very, very important. The first thing is that the risen Christ, he appears to them. And when he appears, we see that he's convincing them about something. You turn to verse number 3 here and you will see. what Dr. Luke is writing here. Dr. Luke is a very methodical doctor. You know, as doctors, they are very process oriented. They are very methodical. So Luke is writing here in verse number 3 that he presented himself alive after his suffering. And it says that he appears to his disciples. So there are two things that Jesus, we see in the verse number 3. There are two things that Jesus, as he appeared to the disciples, he wanted to convey to them. So that without a shadow of doubt, they know that he has risen from the dead. Earlier from the Psalms, we heard the pastor speaking that that money was given to the soldiers to tell that the disciples had stolen his body and he was not rising up. This is kind of a continuation with what pastor started earlier. And here Jesus is saying that I want to tell you for a fact that I have risen from the dead. Without a convincing, without any doubt. And so the first thing, there are two things in verse number 3 that Jesus was trying to convey. The first one was that he was presenting to them, you know, proofs that cannot be denied. It's called infallible proofs. You know, Luke is telling that he showed himself to his disciples. He gave them convincing proofs. All this happened because the disciples saw that he was arrested in the garden. He was tried in the courts. He was beaten upon. He was on the cross. He died. They saw that he was humiliated, and then he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They sealed the tomb, and he was died and gone. That is what it is in their mind. Now Jesus is coming back to them, and he is saying, "Listen here, I am going to give you proofs that I am risen again." He presented to them as the living one. You know, in verse number 3, he says that he presented them alive. In the Greek tense, it says, one who is continually continuously alive. He is continually and continuously, he wanted to present himself as alive. The text says in verse number 3, that he wanted to convince them with many infallible proofs. Number 1, note the word many. Not one. Not two, but many proofs. As evidence, Jesus wanted to give his disciples that he was alive. Number 2, these proofs were infallible, which means that they were so compelling and so convincing that all the doubts disappeared and they know that Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. So the question that I want to ask you is, why you should believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? When you look out into the world and what they say, that they say, you know, he did not rise up, or there are so many stories about Jesus, but Jesus has proven himself again and again with convincing proof that he rose up from the dead. In fact, let me run down very quickly. On 11 specific occasions, Jesus appeared, as we know in the Bible, 11 specific occasions Jesus appeared to his followers during the 40-day period. It was a 40-day period. He appeared 11 times. He appeared to them on the mountain in Galilee, on a suburban road outside of Jerusalem. He appeared by day. He appeared by night. He appeared to individuals, to small groups, and even one group as large as 500 people. The first time that he appeared was to Mary Magdalene. One time I've heard Ravi Zacharias speaking about it. Why did Jesus appear to a woman? Because in those days, a woman's testimony is of no account to the Jewish society. Why did Jesus appear to a woman of all the people? Because he wanted to show, starting from the first person to the end, that he was truly alive. He appeared to Mary Magdalene at dawn by the tomb. The second time he appeared to a group of women who were coming to anoint his body. You see that in Mark chapter 16. A group of women that came to anoint his body, and Jesus appeared. The third appearance was on the first Easter, when the two disciples were walking on the way to Emmaus. He came into their house. He blessed the bread. He broke it. He gave the bread to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they saw that this was the risen Lord. In the same Easter, the record says he appeared to Simon Peter. An individual encounter. about the risen Christ that helped turn the mind of Peter from somebody who was denying about Jesus to somebody who preached in Pentecost. The fifth time when Jesus appeared was on the Easter Sunday in the evening, when the 10 disciples had gathered, Jesus appeared to them. At that time, Thomas was not there. Jesus came and stood in the midst. They saw his hands, their feet and their side, and they were rejoicing to see the risen Lord. But then, after a week after, the doubting Thomas was among them, and Jesus appeared and he told Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hand. Put your hand on my side, because you would not believe unless you see." There are some of us who won't believe. You know, the problem with many of us is we don't have the faith to believe the word of God. We have to see. We have to touch. We are like the people outside. "Oh, I have to feel it. I have to know it." No, you have to believe and you have to walk by faith. That is what faith is all about. You don't have to see with your eyes. You have to obey and walk by faith. And Jesus tells Thomas, "Come, bring your hand. Put it in my finger. Put it on my side and you'll see that I was the one." And what does Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." He acknowledges Jesus. And then we see in Luke, Jesus even ate broiled fish to show that he was not a ghost. He was not a spirit. He was truly on his glorified body. He gave them many proofs. He appeared again on the shore of Galilee in John chapter 21. He fixed a meal for the disciples, the fish that they had caught. And then, so time and again, Jesus appeared to his disciples. After he was risen, child of God, never have a doubt that Jesus is not risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead. There is no more proof that you need. History shows that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Again and again we see the proof of that. Let your heart believe that our God, our Lord has risen. Especially we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 6, Paul mentions that at one time he appeared to over 500 people. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, and then you read the portion that says, "Of whom the greater number of people are still present." You know, when did Paul make the statement? He wrote the first epistle of Corinthians at AD 55. During that time, he says, many of these disciples who saw, they are still alive. They are still alive. They were eyewitnesses of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And some people believe that that was a time when Jesus gave the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28. And so you look at all these people. And one scholar has said that if you give these 500 people, maybe to testify 6 minutes each in a court of law, you have more than 50 hours of accumulated evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. More than 50 hours of evidence that Jesus arose, has risen from the dead. We also know in 1 Corinthians 15:7 that Jesus appeared to his younger brother James. I don't know if you thought about that much, but I'll tell you. James was a stepbrother of Jesus. They grew up in the same town of Nazareth. When you read the Gospel of John chapter 7 verse 5, James did not believe in Jesus. He was an unbeliever. But something changed when James saw the risen Christ. Instead of being a doubter and a skeptic, James became one of his ardent believers. He became the first pastor of the Jerusalem church. He wrote the book of James. The one who would not believe in Jesus, his own half-brother, he wrote the book of James. He became the first martyr of the Christian faith, other than Stephen. Let me tell you, how did that happen? Because he saw the risen Christ. You should never have a doubt in your mind that Jesus has not risen. 11 specific times across 40 days, Jesus appeared again and again. And finally he appeared to Saul on the way, on the Damascus road. And Saul became Paul the apostle. And then Jesus appeared to John the apostle in the Isle of Patmos.
We read in Revelation chapter 1 that the risen Christ appeared to John as well. So many times, time and again, Jesus appeared to his disciples to show that he was dead, but he's alive. Today he has risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Can we all lift up our hands and bless the Lord? Jesus is alive today. The second thing, if you read Acts chapter 1 verse number 3, very important. Jesus spoke to this people things concerning the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus started his ministry speaking about God's kingdom. Now again, he is speaking about God's kingdom. What does it mean? Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus came to set up another kingdom, not the kind of kingdom that the Jews were waiting for. He wanted to set the rule of God as king over the lives of the people, so that he would set up his kingdom inside of the people, that he will be the king and his kingdom will be within us. So when you accept Christ in your heart, you declare that Jesus is the Lord over your life. He becomes your king. He is the one who leads you. And this is what it says, that Jesus spoke for 40 days during the time he spoke about the rule of God, the kingdom of God. And then what happened? How did that kingdom would come into place? This was a part of God's plan for the people. So that brings us to the first time he appeared, and he appeared convincing. Let me go to the second part. Not only that he appears to convince them, the second time he's giving them an assignment. Jesus gave them an assignment which was commanding. Jesus commanded his disciples. Turn to Acts verse 1 verse 8. This is an assignment that Jesus gave to the disciples. There are five parts of the assignment, and I want to quickly give you the five parts. The first is that Jesus gave the power of the assignment, the power to accomplish. What was the power? How could a bunch of illiterate, uncultured men grow up a church of 120 to, they say, more than 25,000 people in 6 months? How did that happen? From 120 to more than 25,000 in a time span of 6 months. The power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, when the wind blew, the fire fell down, the Spirit of God came upon the believers. And you know what? God gave them the power. The power was the assignment. The power of the assignment was the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Today, his power is available to you for the assignment that God has given you. Number two, he said the purpose. Why was the purpose? Because you said, Jesus said, you will be my witness. It was a power with a purpose. The purpose was that we will be a witness of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when the Holy Spirit was present, the disciples became a commanding witness of the risen Christ. The third, the priority of the assignment. What is the priority? He said, this is the main thing. Stephen Covey, who is in time management, said like this, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. What is the main thing? The main thing for a believer was to be a witness. When the Holy Spirit takes over the rule, the kingdom of God comes in your heart, you are going to relate from your first hand experience of Jesus Christ. You are going to tell to other people. You are going to be a witness. The fourth thing is the personality of the assignment. What was the personality? I want you to look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where it says that you shall be witnesses to me. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses to me. What does it mean? It means the direction of our witness. The risen Christ said, you are witnesses to me as the object, as the personality. We bear witness to Jesus, our risen Lord. We are a witness of the mighty acts of God in our life. Our anchor is the great acts of God that he does in the person of Jesus Christ. And you tell other people about your personal experience that you had with Jesus. That is what he wants from you. When you go outside and talk to somebody who does not know Christ, you have to tell them your story of how you came to meet the Lord and how he has changed your life and how you are a new creation. You have to be a witness to the other people. That was what the disciples were doing. Acts chapter 2 verse 32, Peter stood up and said, God has raised this Jesus to life And we are witnesses of this fact. The disciples said, we are witnesses. God raised Jesus, the man you crucified. God has raised him up from the dead. And we are witness. We are witness of the risen Christ. Hallelujah. When you bear a witness, you are telling somebody what Christ has done for you. You don't tell the second-hand story of somebody, that story, this story. You tell your own story. How has Christ made a difference in your life? Then the fifth one is the place of the assignment. How did Jesus describe the place? He said you need to start in Jerusalem. Then you move to the outer banks. Go to Judea and Samaria. Go to the ends of the world. It means that we start being a witness right where we are. In our homes. In our neighborhood. In our classroom. Wherever we are, you start there. And then you go outside and be a witness of the Lord. So he gave them a place also. Then we come to the last point here. Not only that he appears to convince the people, not only he assigns, give them a command. The third thing is that he ascends. Turn to Acts chapter 1 verse 9. It says, after he spoke, he was taken up and a cloud received him from the sight. Jesus left. He left saying that I'm going to my Father and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who is going to be with you all throughout. Hallelujah. You know, this assignment was necessary for Pentecost to happen, when the Spirit would invade and energize these witnesses to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, just as Jesus commanded. I'm telling you, as he ascended, look at the disciples. They're looking up and Jesus is ascending to the clouds. Literally in front of their eyes, he's going up. He says, and the angels tell them, they're keeping on looking. Now, when Jesus came to them, they're asking about the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. But Jesus says, no, I want to speak about the kingdom of God. That is what I came to restore. God's rule over you. You accept him as a Lord and Savior. Allow him to take over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus rose up and he conquered the grave. He ascended against all gravity. Jesus rose up. And we know that what happened after that. Praise God. Jesus rose up. You see here, he convinced them with many proofs that he had risen. He commanded that we will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And he conquered sin and Satan. And hell as became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, this Jesus is in the right hand of God. He is interceding for our lives today. Can we all just stand up on our feet? I want the worship team to come forward. And I want to tell you that Jesus has risen. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because of it, Jesus is alive, we can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Can we all just close our eyes and look to the Lord? And can you all thank the Lord? Thank you, Jesus, for rising up from the dead. For rising up from the grave. You're truly alive today. You are alive today. Hallelujah. Can we all just close our eyes? Every one of us, can you lift up our hands to the Lord? Can we all just worship him? We are going to close right now.